The Zone with Jason Anderson.
So what we had planned for this segment, we got into jack bleep of what we were going to do here.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you as we are hanging out in Phoenix at Radio Row as we head up to Super Bowl 57. Joining us now from Westwood One, you'll hear on the broadcast coming up this weekend right here on Sports Radio 810, Mike Golic joining us here in the Zone. Mike, how are you, sir? Oh, I should probably turn your mic on. That's my fault. Well, yep, well, it's perfect.
We'll go there. Okay, I wasn't sure which one, and I didn't want to mess with your board here.
No, that's fine.
The rejoin there is so true. What you plan to talk about and then you don't talk about it, a lot of times those are your best segments, though, right?
Absolutely.
When you plan something, and Green and I used to do that, and all of a sudden we'd be talking about who's a better superhero, you know, Batman or Superman, you know, and it turned out to be just some fun segments.
We ended up having a show talking about truck nuts a couple of weeks ago for some reason.
Truck nuts?
Yep, the novelty that
hangs from the back
of the truck.
Okay, there you go, gotcha.
We ended up doing that because Josh, who I do the show with back in KC, said, I can't remember who it was that was bad against tight ends. It might have been the Jaguars are terrible against tight ends. And he said, I wonder if they're going to try to overcompensate for that. And I said, what, are they going to show up on their bus with truck nuts?
Would you like, I would like
and
to.
And the whole show ended up being
well,
that.
I was going to say, I would like to interview somebody who drives a truck with truck nuts just to see what kind of personality they have. You can kind of peg them, you know, you kind of stereotype what type of person they're going to be. I'd like to see if they actually are like that.
That's exactly right. Mike Golic is our guest. Do I introduce you as former Eagle or just former Dolphin and Oiler? Do I leave the Eagle thing out?
No, or? You probably want to keep that in.
Okay.
That was most of my career there.
Right.
But, you know, people always say, oh, you're rooting for the Eagles because you played there. Listen, I know people in the organization, but nobody is there when I was there. I loved the fans, even though they can certainly be pretty extreme. So I had a great time there. And again, a lot of it was about relationships with players because this was before free agency I was there. So, you know, my teammates were my friends as well.
Yeah.
So I had a great time there. But, yeah, it's obviously that was 87 to 93, so it was a little while ago.
That's right. Mike Golic is our guest, Westwood One. You'll be on the sidelines
yes.
coming up this weekend. Is there a coin flip between you and Laura as to which sideline you work? Do you switch?
We both work both sidelines
okay.
because we're doing different things. Now, the first time I ever worked sideline was the Super Bowl last year because I'm normally in the booth.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing Sunday night games with Ryan Ratt. Key for Westwood One, but for this, obviously, it's Kevin and Carl and Kurt Warner in the booth. They said be an analyst on the sideline. You know, like Laura will handle like the news on the sideline, injuries on the sideline. I'm going to be watching the play,
okay.
And they'll come to me, and I'll just kind of be an extra set of analyst eyes down on the field to talk with Kurt about and stuff that way. So, well, she's the pro down there. Let's make no mistake, Laura Oakman is the pro on the sideline. I'm just down there, A, trying not to get in the way, and B, trying to bring people something that I see at field level.
Which is great, because there's so much more. Maybe not more, but there are other things you can glean from being on the field.
In all honesty, and I even look for it when I'm in the booth, and now when I'm on the sideline and I can actually hear it, I love seeing when teams come off the field and they're on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
What are they talking about? What's the body language? Is anybody bickering? And I don't care about the bickering as a thing of, hey, guys, these guys are fighting down here. During a game, there's always disagreements. That's the emotion. But if they're fighting, what are they fighting about? What are they doing to correct it? You can get a lot of information I found last year on the sideline because you have full access there to really see the emotions of the players or any adjustments that they're making.
Yeah, Laura was with us yesterday, and it was a great interview. She was talking about, she said something along the lines like, I'm not a sideline reporter, I'm an energy reporter.
Yes.
That you could just, she wants to get a feel for the team.
Well, I mean, think about that. I mean, when you're in the booth, you're away from it. People watching are watching from home. So Laura gives you that, this is what it's like down here.
Yeah.
So and she paints the picture, especially in radio, you paint that picture so well that you get the listeners to kind of feel that energy as well.
Yeah, and she didn't leave the Chiefs sideline against the Bengals because there kept being injury after injury after injury. She's like, I've never done that before.
That's where the news was, but that's where you got to be, right?
And how maybe impressive could be the word of the Chiefs being able to overcome, what, an 0-3 against the Bengals, and then those injuries, and even going into the game was Kelsey's back and, of course, Patrick Mahomes' ankle.
The Kelsey back thing, we all knew about Mahomes' ankle. The Kelsey back thing was like, oh, okay, that's backs are awful. Mm-hmm. And then you lose three wide receivers. And I was talking a little earlier in the week to Juju Smith-Schuster and he and MVS, and they were talking about, yeah, you know, all of a sudden we're looking out there, and I know Juju was one of the ones, you know, that was nicked. It's like all of a sudden we don't have our guys out there, so you're talking to guys that don't play a whole lot, and you're relying on them. It's a tough situation. I mean, think of – but they pulled it out. I mean, think of San Francisco. You're going in a game with a backup, your third quarterback, and Brock Purdy, who had played well. He gets hurt. Josh Johnson comes in, gets his head slammed off the turf. He's out. I mean, you're like, what the hell? Yeah. So injuries can ruin you like it did San Francisco, or, you know, you're Kansas City and you overcome that because you still have Patrick Mahomes, you still have Chris Jones, you still have plenty of playmakers.
Mike Golic is our guest. What do you think of trying to get people's opinions on just this matchup? I feel like it's the two best teams in the NFL that are meeting up, but do you agree?
I agree, and I think I said this before the championship games. The NFC had the more complete teams. Both San Francisco and Philly are more complete than Kansas City and Cincinnati. So I still think the NFC, in this case Philly, is a more complete team than Kansas City. But then you say that, you say, but Kansas City has Patrick Mahomes. So you just don't know what's going to happen. The matchup is obviously the lines.
Mm-hmm.
Philly has the best O-line in the game. Philly's D-line had 70 sacks in the regular season. I mean, good luck, Kansas City. You got to overcome that.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, Patrick Mahomes, he can escape the pocket. We saw him 2 weeks ago rolling left, throwing back right, and all of a sudden he came up hobbling a little bit. Now he's had 2 weeks for the high ankle. So where is that? Is it going to take one little wrong push off or one little twist and it's going to be tweaked again on him? Because there's no doubt he's going to be under pressure. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, while Kansas City is a hell of a team, I find it hard to believe they're going to be able to keep that pass rush away from Patrick the entire game. If they can, more power to him, and it's probably game over. But it's going to be difficult. Patrick's going to have to make some plays on the run.
How much is keeping the pass rush away from Patrick Mahomes, that actual game and winning one-on-one versus the couple of weeks leading up to it in game plan and scheme by Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, to come up with ways to make sure that pass rush doesn't
get the ways are get the ball out of your hands quickly, mm-hmm. whether it's slants, but if you got the corners playing up tight while you're going to pass rush and say no, you know, because we get pressure, quarterback's going to get rid of the ball quickly. So what we either want to do is contest the quick throw or give up the three-yard throw and tackle him right away. Don't give him any yards after the catch. Know he's got to dish it quick. They get a short completion, tackle him right there. I think two guys that could be key for Kansas City is Isaiah Pacheco running the ball, because Philly can be a little susceptible to the run, especially if he bounces outside. And then the middle of the field, which could be Travis Kelce area. It could be Jared McKinnon coming out of the backfield, you know, with a quick throw. Get the ball out of your hands. Get it to somebody in space. So McKinnon, I mean, who had him picked at the beginning of the year to lead all running backs in touchdown receptions?
Yeah.
I know I did.
I did not.
But that's what he's doing. So there's a couple of key guys outside of the obvious key guys.
Yeah, I'm lying to you. I actually picked it. I told everybody that.
Oh, you did. Well, you are the man then.
I said, but wait till December.
Uh-huh.
Just wait till December. Then he's going to really turn it
on. Your truck must have truck nuts.
Don't need them.
Yeah.
Mike Golic, our guest from Westwood One, as a defensive lineman going up against these two good offensive linemen or offensive lines, what's the challenge then? Let's say from the Chiefs' perspective, what's the challenge for the Chiefs? Chris Jones is as good as it gets on the interior to go up against that Eagles offensive line.
Well, I mean, what'll be interesting is for Chris Jones, how much will he pop outside? We saw in that last sack, he went outside. Dunlop wanted to go outside, and he was like, no. Dunlop didn't look too happy after that. Like, that could have been my sack there. I don't know how much will Chris – now, listen, Chris Jones will have the thought process he can beat anybody on the field, and in a lot of cases he can. But you also – listen, we did this back in my years with Reggie White. Reggie White moved up and down the line, and you find a weak link and put Reggie on that guy. So with Chris Jones, you do that as well. And the weak link isn't the right tackle for Philadelphia. It's not Lane Johnson.
Yeah, right.
So I wonder if Chris will be more on the interior pushing, trying to push the guards. You have Landon Dickerson, the left guard, who's got the elbow issue going on. So, you know, you'll try and find spots where it'll work best for Chris Jones to rush. Obviously, you got Clark rushing as well, but you'll find that spot for Chris Jones.
Mike Golic, our guest, and we've asked everybody their prediction, but I know you're working the game, so
yeah,
you won't give us one.
Can't
so,
do that.
But thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. Enjoyed it, and enjoy the game coming up this week, and looking forward to the coverage and listening as to what's going on down on the field and some of the
appreciate
the analysis.
Going to be. I hope it's a great game. Bottom line, I hope it's a great game.
I think it will be. I think it will. We'll see who comes out on top. Your Eagles or Oilers? we'll see. Mike Golic, I guess. Thank you so much for
you
your
got
time.
It, no
appreciate
problem.
It. There's Mike Golic joining us right here in Phoenix at Radio Row on Sports Radio 810 WHB here in the zone as we continue to broadcast live. We'll be here the rest of the day today, tomorrow, and on into Friday as well. Our coverage presented by Blue Note Bourbon, ranked among the very best whiskeys, worthy of your attention by Whiskey Advocate. Pick up some Blue Note Bourbon for the big game and all your occasions. Let's take a timeout. We'll come back and we're going to talk with Kurt Warner coming up next. So looking forward to our conversation, Kurt Warner with Westwood One and NFL Network. We'll hear from him breaking down this this matchup. That's next. We'll talk with Kurt Warner right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
This is a guy through the first three quarters of the game had a quarterback rating of, well, now I lost that.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you as we continue broadcasting from Radio Row in Phoenix as we are heading up to the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 57, coming up on Sunday. And right now, joined by Hall of Famer, former quarterback, Kurt Warner, joining us in the zone, also known as Cade Warner's dad.
Yes.
So
I like that title. I like that title a lot.
You like that one?
Yes.
We joked about, you know, things that happen in games where either national broadcast will say something that the local fans know, and it's like, okay, here we go again.
Yes.
And we joked about with K-State, then, you know, it's Kurt Warner on TV. You know,
yes,
they got to show the Warner family when K-State's playing football.
Yes, you know, we all get tired of that, you know, and I know my kids get tired of that, you know, because, you know, I think they understand why, but at the same time, it's like, hey, you know, I just want to get out of that shadow, and I want to write my own story.
Yeah.
So, you know, but you know, there's burden and blessing in everything, right? And they've received a lot of blessing from that, so they're going to have to deal with that a little bit longer. But you know, the hope is, and you know, Cade had a great year this year. It was so much fun to see him finally get the opportunity to play and make plays, and then to see the success that they had. And so, you know, it's all about writing your own story. And I think that's something about us Warners. You know, it's never been easy. It's always been different for us, but it's been fun to watch, you know, Cade do the things that he did from Nebraska to K-State, and now wants to give it a shot at the next level. So I'm excited to see what happens there. And then I've got a freshman over at Temple, EJ, who was a freshman All-American after being, you know, not quite recruited the way that maybe he deserved to be recruited. And you know, so it's all about writing your own story and forging your own path, and both my boys have done that, and it's been fun to watch.
Absolutely. Kurt Warner is our guest, and will you guys compare rings, your Super Bowl ring and his Big 12 championship ring when he gets that? Was there gonna
I'm
be a
happy
comparison?
To compare any of my rings with that one right now. Until he gets another one, I think I still have bragging rights.
That's right, around the dinner table, you still got that in the Hall of Fame and all of that stuff. Kurt Warner is our guest. What do you make of this matchup coming up this weekend of quarterbacks? You know, it's not that, you know, a cookie cutter probably isn't the right word of quarterbacks that you know, in the NFL for so many years, that now there's so much diversity with how they play the game and different ways that you can, you know, get the job done. These two quarterbacks sort of, you know, exemplify that.
They do. You know, but I'm always excited about, you know, just good quarterback play. And I don't really care what it looks like. You know, that's the thing about it is that, yeah, I was more conventional, and I'm sure there's a part of me as an analyst and as a player that likes to see the convention and the mental part of the game and playing, you know, on schedule and some of that stuff. But, you know, as I've grown as an analyst and gotten away from the game, I try to appreciate all the different styles of play. And so, you know, it's hard not to appreciate Patrick and all the things that he's done and all the different things that he can do on the field, his ability to play in the pocket, his ability to ad-lib as well as anybody we've ever seen.
you know, and his ability to elevate his teammates. And so, you know, you're always excited to watch him, especially on these big stage. You know, Jalen has been fun because it's been fun to watch the growth.
Yeah.
You know, a year ago, people were still wondering, you know, could he be that guy? Could he be the franchise guy? And there's still room to grow. You know, he's not a finished product yet, but it's been fun to watch the growth that he made from last year to this year. And then also how the system complements what he's really good at. And that, to me, is what this sport is all about. That's what great coaching is all about, is you can have great talent, but it's figuring out how to use that talent to accentuate their greatest gifts. And I believe Coach Sirianni and the offensive staff with Philly have done that this year. And, you know, I mean, he's surrounded by great players. So what? You know, all great teams, all great quarterbacks are surrounded by great players in different ways. But they do a great job of utilizing his skills while he's growing to become a complete quarterback. And that, to me, is what makes this so unique, is that Philly's going to come in and they're not going to say, oh, we're going to ask Jalen to drop back 35 or 40 times. No, we got here one way, playing to his strengths. We're going to allow him to play to his strengths. And then hopefully 2 or 3 years from now, if we need to do that, or when we need to do that, we feel comfortable spreading it out or changing it up from week to week to keep people off balance. But you do what got you here, and it's going to be fun to watch because both guys play really well in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, that's the one thing that we've known about Jalen. If you have questions about a lot of things, he's a winner. And you put him out on the field and put the ball in his hands, and he makes plays. And he did that again this year. So I think we got two quarterbacks that are truly going to impact this game with their playmaking. And for me, as a fan of the game and as a fan of the position, I'm extremely excited about that.
You know, Kurt Warner's our guest, and you talk about that you know, accentuating his skills and what he does well. That quarterback-coach combination and relationship that's there to elevate each other. You know, there's a conversation of, well, you know, Patrick Mahomes came into the league and he had Andy Reid. So, which is true. I mean, the culture was built there and you have one of the best offensive minds in the game. I think the flip side is also true, that Andy Reid has been really successful throughout his career, and he's been to a Super Bowl with Donovan McNabb, and he had success with Alex Smith. But Andy Reid then got Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
And he got a Hall of Fame quarterback, and he won a Super Bowl. You were with Dick Vermeil. I mean, Dick Vermeil was successful in all these different spots in college and the pros, and he went to a Super Bowl. Then he got a Hall of Fame quarterback, and he went and won a Super Bowl. So there's that marriage between the two that can elevate both, elevate Dick Vermeil's mind in offense with you at quarterback and Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt and the greatest show on turf, and elevate Andy Reid, what he wants to do offensively, when you've got a Patrick Mahomes that's there.
Well, and I also believe it's the ability of the coach to adjust to that talent. You know, it's not just like, oh, somebody dropped a great quarterback in my lap, we can do whatever we want and we're going to win. No, you know, the beautiful thing is that Andy's very creative and he's got a great offensive mind. He's now just got a piece that allows him to do all of this stuff that was in there anyways. And that, to me, is the uniqueness of great coaches. It's their ability to adapt and the ability to be able to think beyond, you know, or the ability to just be open to learning, you know. And, you know, a great example is when I, you know, came to Arizona with Ken Wisenhunt. Ken Wisenhunt came from Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh was a two-back, tight end, downhill run game, play action type, you know, type coach. And that's what he wanted to try to do in Arizona because that's what he knew. And when I was there, I'm like, yeah, I can do some of that stuff, but A, it's not my strength, and B, we're not built that way. And so us going through that adjustment period of him going, all right, Kurt, you're going to have to help me learn what this looks like and how to play this way and what you're capable of doing, because that system is more defined. It's a simpler system from, you know, the mental processing standpoint. And so through that 3-year period when we were together, you know, it was about him and his willingness to be open to listening to what I could do and what I would see and why I designed plays this way. And he was able to grow and adapt and give me the freedom to be a part of helping shape this offense around what I could do. So, you know, it's having coaches that have that flexibility or that understanding or that creativity that connects to their playmakers to allow them to
like you said, both ascend to new levels that they didn't, they weren't able to ascend to by themselves or without, you know, the right kind of guy in their system. And that's the beautiful part of it. And I think that's why, you know, Andy and Patrick is so much fun, because you've got this guru and this genius with this guy that can do everything. And, you know, and we're seeing things accomplished that we've, you know, that we've never or rarely seen any quarterback coach accomplish.
Kurt Warner is our guest here in the Zone, and I'm a big fan of the QB Confidential that you guys have.
Thank
and
you.
And,
appreciate it.
And what you do on YouTube. And this week's are great with the playmakers and watching those. It's great insight for Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown and Travis Kelce and Jerick McKinnon. We talked about one that you did over the summer, because there was a conversation in Kansas City when there was an unnamed defensive play caller that said Patrick Mahomes was a street ball player, a right. one-read guy. And the breakdown of just looking at the different plays in the Bills game was so next level, because it's from what the quarterback is seeing. And it's interesting, it what would look like a first read, you know, actually the way you pointed it out was, well, this is like a second or third read.
Right.
And it's a second or third because look what the defense is doing after the snap and how quickly Mahomes recognizes
right.
it. And then, boom, this is actually a second read. It looks like his first. It was great breakdown. And it felt like, you know, in talking about that, like it almost felt like you took offense to somebody saying that Mahomes was a one-read street ball quarterback.
I just take offense to people that, A, either don't know the position enough that they make flippant comments, or B, you know, that they try to create a narrative without fully understanding what they're saying means.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the position, and I just want to teach the position. And if you're, you know, it's the same way about everything. I don't like to speak on anything that I don't feel I know what I'm talking about. I'm not just going to throw out a flippant response to something like, hey, I'm going to tell this offensive lineman what he should have done, unless I really feel I know
yeah.
what I'm talking about. And so I take offense to anything that, you know, and especially people in the know or people in positions where people are going to listen to them. I want you to tell me why. And,
okay.
you know, the biggest thing for me, like with the QB Confidential, is what I always want to do is I want to show people.
Yeah.
You know, that to me is, you know, I become the XO guy on our, you know, NFL game day morning. And the reason I do that is because I want to show an XO on everything. Because I don't want anybody to ever think I'm just saying something or that I'm just repeating what someone else said. I want to show you why I'm saying it. And, you know, when you get into my position, there's times you have to be critical of guys. You know,
yeah.
you have to say, you know, Patrick didn't play very well this game. Let me show you why.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care that he threw for 350 yards. I don't care. I'm going to show you why I don't think he played very well. But I always want to back it up with fact. And so when I hear people, you know, like that, an anonymous defense coordinator said this. Okay, show me why. You know, if you want to say it, show me why you said it, because I watch all the film, I watch every snap, I watch every quarterback, and I know, you know, or at least, and again, you know, Patrick could be playing back there and just making it up as he goes. But when you see it over and over again, and like you said, you know, if a good quarterback's playing the game and you've got a good concept, you have two receivers that are your number one read, because it's all based on, does this defender go high? Does this defender go low? Does he go inside? Does he go outside? So, you know, for people to just kind of say he's one read and take off, you have to understand what that means and what he should be looking at. And does he look at that thing, and is he able to react off of it? And, you know, so it irritates me, because I don't believe enough people. And again, I don't know who this defense coordinator
right,
is.
Unnamed.
I would assume a defense coordinator does his homework. But I believe there's a lot of people out there that don't do their homework, and they hear narratives or they see a guy that's really good off schedule and they say, he's just a street ball player. And I don't believe that. And so I want to give guys proper respect. I want to make sure that I show people why. So if I hear something like that, you're right. I'm going to jump on QB Confidential and go, okay, I heard that. Okay, I watched the tape. I already knew what the you know, what I believed anyways. But, you know, I was able to take one game. You know, that
yeah.
wasn't like a compilation of 17 weeks of going, look, let me show you 10 times where Patrick actually
yeah.
read the field. That was in one game where I had like 17 plays.
Yeah.
And it's like, Okay, now explain it to me. Now tell me how you can argue that when you see it over and over and over again. And so it's really just about educating people to really the game and the position.
Well, and one of the things that I had taken a note of in the Jags game was something you talked about, Travis Kelce and the relationship they have, and it was a miss. And I'm glad you brought it up because I noted that, you know, Mahomes just completely missed Kelce. He was wide open. Maybe it was the ankle. And you noted, and it wasn't the ankle. Mahomes put it exactly where he wanted it to go. Kelce was going exactly where he thought he should go. They just weren't on the same page. I thought it was brilliant breakdown, and I want to learn as much as I can, so I go back and change that note.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm not saying, well, maybe I was the ankle. No, Kurt Warner broke it down, and now I know what happened. They're not on the page every single play, but more times than not, they are. That one just missed.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and you also have to watch the tape over and over again.
Yeah.
So that was actually on a corner route. And that's probably the one route more than any others where Patrick and Travis have a little bit of leeway to adjust the route. So it's a normal corner route where he's going to continue running towards the sideline. And then, because they both have great feel, Travis will come out and he'll feel pressure outside, so he slows into that hole. And so the play you're talking about, Patrick threw it inside thinking he was going to slow. Travis went outside, and so they just missed. And, you know, it's that fine line of going, man, just do what you're supposed to do, and then I can read it and throw it where I want, and we won't miss. But, yeah, I can't tell you. I mean, I actually did a breakdown this week on those two guys.
Yeah,
how many plays they've actually made that – if they stay where they're supposed to stay based on how you draw it up on a board, they probably wouldn't have been able to have a completion. He would have had to work on somewhere else. So, you know, there are those times that it's not going to work out and you're going to miss. The hope is just that it doesn't happen very often and it doesn't happen in critical moments. And, you know, it's something that I love to pay attention to because they both have great feel for the game, but it can lead to huge plays, but it also can lead to negative plays. And in the course of the game, those two or three plays can be really, really huge.
Last one for you, Kurt Warner, our guest. What do you think happens in the game? Do you have a prediction, a score, a team that you think will win?
You know, I mean, I actually don't make my prediction until Sunday, so I get...
You got 8 hours on the...
I get the ability to change my pick.
Absolutely.
I think the Eagles are the better team.
Okay.
I think when you look at them top to bottom, and specifically in the trenches... you know, you get to this time of year, you know, we saw Patrick play a couple years ago against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay won in the trenches. And you get to these games where you have two good teams. The team that can win in the trenches more often than not usually wins these games outside of, you know, a guy like Patrick just going off, or, you know, Chris Jones just disrupting everything. But I think the Eagles are the better team. And so, you know, I'm leaning in that direction that because of that, you know, that they probably pull this out or they have more ways in which they can win. But I don't sit here and look at this and go, oh, Chiefs have no chance. You know, I think the Chiefs are a really good football team. They're just young. And Patrick's, I think, going to have to play really, really well, or Andy's going to have to design some specific things to get him some big plays. But I'm hoping it's a good game. I hope both quarterbacks play well. But I'm leaning towards the Eagles right now.
All right. Kurt Warner here in the Zone at Radio Row. Kurt, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
You got it. My pleasure.
All right. There's Kurt Warner, Hall of Fame quarterback, joining us here in the Zone as we hang out here. Radio Row in Phoenix leading up to Super Bowl 57. Our coverage presented by Twin Peaks, America's favorite sport, crowns a champ on February 12th. Show up early, cash out quarterly. The first 100 guests qualify for the Squares board. Watch the game at Twin Peaks. We take a timeout. We come back. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Why are you getting things wrong, Jason?
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, hanging out at Radio Row in Phoenix as leading up to Super Bowl 57, and our coverage presented by Dream Lawn, here to disrupt the lawn care industry. At Dream Lawn, the products are all natural and help your lawn thrive. Professional golf courses, baseball stadiums, and acres of farmland are all making the change to Dream Lawn. Go to dreamlawn.com and learn about the difference. Thank you to Kurt Warner joining us in the previous segment, breaking down and talking about this game and what he thinks of this game and these quarterbacks. And I really do enjoy the QB Confidential that he does. And, you know, we didn't even really have a chance to get into his full-on breakdown of, you know, Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes and that relationship, and really even the Jerick McKinnon one, which I think is really interesting because the more and more people we talk with here continue to point out Jerick McKinnon. I mean, Mike Golic, talking with him, you know, earlier in the show before Kurt Warner, and he, you know, talking about Jerick McKinnon. You know, we've heard others, you know, mention Jerick McKinnon. So expected to be a big part of the game plan for the Chiefs to try to counter the pass rush of the Philadelphia Eagles. And we'll talk with Kenny Mayne here in just a little bit when he sits down as he's bouncing around from station to station. So, yeah, but enjoyed the Kurt Warner conversation, and otherwise known, Josh, as Cade Warner's dad. Cade Warner's father.
It seemed like that might have been his favorite of the titles that you were bestowing upon him.
Like, you've won a championship, you've won a couple of MVPs, you are in the Hall of Fame, and you're Cade Warner's dad. Thank you. That's it. That's all I want to be known by. Is it also felt like he was kind of annoyed at how often they were shown on TV. That he's like, yeah, we just want to watch our son. Like, it's about our son, not about us. And I get it, you know, because he's always been Kurt Warner's son, right? And now he's, you know, he's doing his own thing out there and winning a Big 12 championship. But I did love the, you know, because he's going to get a ring. He's going to get a nice ring for winning the Big 12, Will Cade Warner. Like, that comparison. Yeah, I'll hold my Super Bowl ring up against his. I think I still got bragging rights on my son. He wasn't letting him have an inch on that. I got bragging rights on my son. Take that, Cade.
Win a real ring.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Right. Kurt Warner said that to his child. Flesh and blood.
Win a real ring. 913-912-4810 is the text line to be a part of the show, part of the conversation. 913-912-4810 if you want to weigh in. We'll talk with Mick Schaefer coming up at 1 o'clock. Text says, damn, it's hard not to love Kurt even though he was a Ram. Yeah, I mean, but he was also a Cardinal and a Giant and a lot of other things. The story is just amazing. I mean, it's just simply what it is. I mean, I also wanted to ask him, like, the comparison between he and Patrick Mahomes in the immediate success in different ways. Kurt Warner, it was a long trip to finally get that starting job, but then it was immediate. I mean, MVP, Super Bowl, MVP a couple of years later, and more Super Bowls in his career, but just starting, and it was like, who's this new guy? This is the greatest show on turf. Different with Patrick Mahomes because he was the number 10 pick in the draft and he sat out that first year. But when he was finally the starter, it was MVP and AFC championship game and now three Super Bowls in the next 4 years after that. Like, it was immediate. And just how handling that success and the adjustments that have to be made while other teams are adjusting to you and you got to adjust back. I would like to have another 15, 20 minutes with Kurt Warner if I could. You know what? The whole hour. He's got an 8.5-hour pregame on NFL Network on Sunday and then the call of the game with Kevin Harlan. So he'll have plenty of time to present his opinions on what he thinks is going to happen in the game and break down and analyzing those things.
Just kind of his ethos of it all also, just being like, hey, look, I'm just trying to teach people about this position a little bit more because I love it. I care about it. I care about good, intelligent teaching and not just people spouting nonsense. And I don't want to spout nonsense if I don't know what I'm talking about. It's just there's an analysis moral compass there in Kurt Warner that is good to hear because I think we could use a little more of that every once in a while.
Yeah, and he seemed to be like he was actually annoyed at the unnamed defensive coordinator that said that Mahomes is just a street baller. So, you know, you can go check out all of those things. He's got like an hour YouTube video on Patrick Mahomes alone that he put out like a month ago. So good stuff there from Kurt Warner. We'll talk with Kenny Mayne here in just a little bit. And then, of course, Mick Schaefer. You know, we will talk with Mick Schaefer. So
best for last. Saving the big guns.
That's exactly right. Yeah, so we were going to talk with Mike Golic coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, but then things got moved around, and then Kurt Warner couldn't go until 12:30, and they're like, hey, we can do Mike Golic right now, and then boom, great, because Mike was going to be on with Mick Schaefer. And I asked around in the break there, and they actually said, yeah, he didn't want to be on with Mick Schaefer, so he was willing to move his schedule around to not have to talk to Mick.
I also tried, and you said, no, you have to be here until 2 o'clock Central Time. So I can't avoid Mick if I try.
That's right. Sorry, you've got to be here. You've got to talk and counter whatever absurd things he says. You know, all of that stuff. It has to be
has to be done. You know, it's what we're here for. So 913-912-4810 is the text line to be a part of the show, part of the conversation today. I haven't seen any news or anything from the Chiefs. If there's anything out there, Beards told me there's a big Royals trade that took place that, you know, we have to get into and talk about. That's what he said.
Yeah, earth shattering. Beards, you need the breaking news sounder at least to give it the respect that it deserves. The Royals have traded left-handed pitcher Anthony Meskowitz to the St. Louis Cardinals for cash considerations. He was DFA'd on February 3rd.
Philly Mouskowitz? That's amazing.
Didn't they already trade for cash considerations? I thought they had him on the roster.
Well, they're you know,
that's
look,
a great point, Beards. It's a common name.
It's a common name. It's like trading for a guy named Jeff Ryan or something.
The Joe Smith?
Yeah, it's the Joe Smiths of Major League Baseball, you know, cash considerations. It's common in baseball, not very common in just life.
I just want to remind everybody really quickly that there was a guy named Joe Smith that was taken number one in the NBA draft one year.
I do remember that, yes. Of course Joe Smith was taken number one in the NBA draft. And you know what? We haven't even got a chance to even talk about the greatest last night becoming the all-time scorer in NBA history and dropping an F-bomb while doing it. So haven't even talked about that. At all. Although we did get a text at the beginning of the show when you played the intro of him hitting the shot. The first text of the show was like, well, unfortunate you guys started the show with LaFraud. Still love the show, but, you know, annoyed you did that. I'm like, well, you know, it's the all-time score in NBA history. I think there's some recognition to be given to the GOAT.
I do want to say one thing, though, really quickly about all that, because, like, that was a big deal, and that record has stood for 39 years.
Yeah.
That's the last record chase we're getting in the NBA for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to keep growing that one. Rebounds is untouchable. That's Wilt. Stockton has got a stranglehold on assists and steals. Olajuwon's got blocks covered. Like, there's nothing else. And unless some role player gets super lucky and is on, like, 11 straight championship teams, Russell's not getting touched. Like, that's going to be it for a long time.
That's a great point. And also, when you talk about these, you know, counting stats, like, when you've got load management now and you don't have guys playing 82 games a year, you know, because, like, Luka, it's like, all right, who could break LeBron's record? Well, Luka could.
But he only plays 60 games a year.
Yeah, and he's got to average 30 for, like, the next 16 years. And plus, he ain't exactly in the best tip-top, you know, athletic, you know, muscle build.
He needs to score 2,000 points a year for 20 straight years, and he hasn't hit 2,000 yet.
Yeah.
He has to be better than he's been as a scorer to this point for the next 20 years. That's all. Yeah, I really like that. There was an article I was reading this morning about some of the, like, okay, you know, who could potentially catch up to LeBron? And here's what it would take for Steph Curry. Here's what it would take for Luka. Here's what it would take for Victor Wembanyama. And it's all just straight humor, because everything is like, well, they'd have to be better than they've ever been until they're 42 years old. And if they do that, then they can catch him. And for me, I like that because it helped put it into perspective a little bit what we saw last night of, like, oh, yeah, this is absolutely ludicrous, but it doesn't feel that way because LeBron has been a superstar since high school.
It doesn't get hurt until lately.
Didn't get hurt until he turned 500 years old couple of years ago. And at no point has he even had the ability to really truly exceed expectations in the eyes of the biggest critics, because his expectations have always been so high. But you know how we treat athletes who don't reach super high expectations. They're busts. They're forever haunted by those expectations. And he did reach past them in unbelievable consistent dominance.
In that vein, just really quickly, do you know who the highest active player outside of LeBron is on the top list? And I say active only because, like, they haven't officially retired yet.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I think, Josh, you know the answer to this because Rudy messaged it last night.
Oh, boy. I don't always read Rudy's texts.
I didn't get that text either. Well, you were on the text chain. Oh, my bad. I just...
Carmelo Anthony, the guy who was
drafted
at 11th. 10,000 points behind him.
That's so cool. I love it. It makes me happy.
Behind. I mean... That's it's unbelievable. And, you know, also, you know, he hasn't retired yet, technically.
He has not played this year.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. Damn. Yeah.
How did you have a chance to check in on it, Jason? Or did you have a little party, pop some champagne or anything?
No, we were we got back from the media party last night to the hotel, and then
how was that
not
the open of the show?
Yeah, I mean, it was okay. It was a really cool like spot. It was just a little out of the way.
And once you've done one party drug, you've done them all. I know you've done them all.
Right? Yeah. You know, it was fine. It was okay. You know, but the food was good and all that stuff. So, you know, they throw a decent party. But we went there, had some food, and then we're like, all right, let's head back.
You didn't see anybody of any note?
No, because it was just a media party.
Nobody famous? Okay. I'm just curious.
Oh, I didn't. Was that supposed to be somebody that was famous?
Go Tigers.
Oh, okay. You didn't say the name. Usually when you do an impression, you say the name.
Only when I don't believe in it. And frankly, yeah. I think my Ed O impression is absolutely top notch. It's like he's in the room with me.
Yeah, I love it. And by the way, that wasn't the media party, though. That was a different party.
No, that's right. That's fair. I don't know that I've actually gone to any of the media parties on my radio road trip, so
just
I'm not sure.
Media members.
You rub elbows with anybody that you, nope. Just start any beef? Nothing? Okay.
Nope.
All right.
Nope, not at all. Not at all. We walked through, we grabbed some food, and decided to get an Uber back to the hotel. And then when we got back there, we were watching the final 10, 15 minutes of the K-State game in Mizzou, and then had the Lakers game on and watched the rest of that, and felt bad for while simultaneously laughing at the guy that paid $50,000 for a courtside seat to tonight's game. Or tomorrow night's game against the Bucks.
Woo, that's tough. That's tough.
That's like Kobe's last game. I saw that somebody tweeted out Kobe's last game. The most expensive ticket was like $30,000, and this guy paid $50,000 for the Bucks and Lakers because that was the expected date
for
him breaking the record.
For pure chaos, I just wanted somebody to goaltend that final shot. It would have been amazing.
I love the picture that everybody's taking, right? And I know we got a break of LeBron hitting the shot, and I love Thomas Bryant underneath, like, ball, give me the ball,
yes!
I'm open,
beat me,
sealed him off, come on.